I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Hi.
Jeez, whiz.
Whoa. Okay.
It's a divinely endorsed cheese substitute, aerosol pressurized cheese substitute, brought to you by God.
You said toot.
I did, and yeah, that's what it is.
That's hilarious.
The signature, that's how you know that it's cheese whiz, is the signature at the end.
Substitute.
Just a whole bunch of... And that's cheese whiz.
And that's how you do it, folks.
And also the divine light of Christ, as well.
Oh, so helpful. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just need those little things to center you so that you can have understanding.
Jesus Christ!
And not just eat it. Oh, cheese and toast.
Yeah. Cheese and crackers.
Oh.
I can't Jew's a favorite.
Oh my goodness, we're so good at this.
No, we're not. It's just, I won't claim to be at my best.
Whatever it is, I will.
Okay, all right, well, there you go.
Okay. Hey, it's been a while since we've recorded. I have an announcement.
All the confidence, none of the competence. Sorry. I just had to make that reference.
No, you had to say that. That's accurate. It's very accurate.
Inference. All right, you were saying? Someone was saying something.
Someone could say.
Yeah. Take good words.
The latest here, it's not the Colin Kaepernick drama.
Latest, like, it's actually like the, as in Departed?
Yeah, goodbye.
Okay, this is depressing.
Oh, it's a good start.
Late breaking news.
I put an infinity knitted light lavender scarf around my microphone, so I'm hoping that'll bring the most lovely noise.
Why isn't it infinited? Like, I'm wearing my infinite snow cap.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I have to start a web design company called Infinite.
And everything is...
Infinite.
Everything is just like...
I'm writing it down!
Everything's just a Mobius of impractical clothing. Like, how do I put this shirt on? There's like no inside or outside. It's a bunch of sleeves wrapped in on one another. Like a collapsing... black hole of blouses. A blouse hole.
Nice. Oh my gosh.
That's
going to be a keeper.
I feel like an asshole right now because it's just like, well, who didn't... I'm like that guy who just pointed out like the flaw in someone's marketing scheme and they're like, oh, well, god damn it. Like,
I know, you are kind of
like
a douche,
there's this one time Billy Mays I saw on Pitchman, that show that Billy Mays...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, when he was still with us, speaking of late great breaking...
Late greats.
Breaks. They showed some behind the scenes, and there was one where, like, a couple of people, they had this invention that was a cooler that locks, and it was, like, one of those sort of little... can hold maybe a six-pack of soda and a couple sandwiches.
Yeah, just a six-pack of soda.
Some sodas and some sandwiches.
some
saltines. I don't know why you're refrigerating your cooler.
I need a cooler for those saltines.
Those can be
exactly
at room temperature. What are you doing? You're wasting space. Oh, I see. It's for carrying purposes. Carry on.
Whatever. I understand.
One of those, but then it had a lock on it, and I forget how the lock worked, but then basically Billy Mays was like, okay, I can't open the thing, but I can just take the cooler, right? And I don't know if it was a little bit of creative editing or not, but then they just sort of cut to the two old people like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
like on that, it was like when Antiques Roadshow, when someone tells you that like this, like, when they're like, oh no, I'm not gonna sell it. And then like, the guy's like, did you know that this antique pile of socks is actually worth $2,100? And then you see like you can zoom in with dramatic music on the person like licking their lips and their eyes glowing like, oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna sell
a little bit of like sweat beads on their brow.
But then they still try to, yeah, they keep their composure like, oh, Grammy would be so happy to know. And then they're like, they try to like stick with their story of, oh, I'm gonna keep it. But then you're like, no, you're gonna sell the shit out of that.
You're not.
We all watched your mind just flip flop on camera. That's what it looks like to make waffles.
Yep.
Antiques Waffle House.
Oh,
I've got these antique waffles handed down to me as heirlooms from my ancestors. Like literally, this indecisive attitude of mine that gets me nowhere is exactly what is on display right now. This heirloom. That, is it worth anything? No, it's worthless. Like me? Okay, good. I'll be on my way with my pile of socks.
I don't want to be here anymore.
I'm going to be a rich man.
I'm so rich already.
They should do an Ashton Kutcher punked version of Antiques Roadshow where he just comes out and is I got you. And then...
it's not worth anything.
Yeah, shoves his foot through the face of a grandfather clock. And then like, air guitars.
I do. You know, there are several shows that really, I think the editing, I don't think they get enough credit for the editing.
Sure, yeah.
Because, like, Bachelor in Paradise and The Bachelor.
Oh my God, yeah.
There's amazing editing. Like, they're getting only better at their job.
Well, at the very least, some sort of content canon that, you know, after every show, you're just like a large caliber automatic rifle firing machine. After it's, you know, it's cooling down, it's like popping and just all those like little sounds as it's cooling.
Yes.
You just definitely got the content Tron 2016 sitting in the back, just popping and fizzling.
It's busy.
Yeah, the technician likes to go down there and just give her a good pat and be like, way to go, Bessie. You did a good one.
It's kind of like when you It's kind of like when you watch movies and, like, you and I think we're the same. I think Aurora's the same. There's, like, several people who kind of, when you watch movies and TV shows and stuff, it's like we watch for the background stuff to decide if we really like something.
Like
we never see something just
quality.
For face value.
Like, and if you start to see little tears and threads and fuzzies, you can't get into any of it because you're like, this is a incompetent, crazy person crafting this.
I can see where this is going, and it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And then I quit. But and then...
Yeah, lots of that.
I'll watch stuff, like movies, when I'm more than pleased. You know, like, I'll leave, I'll be like, Because there's, like, little things behind the scenes, like, just... as far as set design, but they do with their silent pauses, when they pause, when people don't realize when you need to pause, like little things like that, where you're like, yes, absolutely, they really nailed this one.
This is what I have, anecdotally referred to as the sixth sense on previous occasions, which is, in one sense, when people say a sixth sense, like as in a physical sort of indescribable sense, I've always equated that version of a sixth sense to a sense of timing, a subliminal sense of timing, and that's why it is oftentimes
comedic timing.
It is oftentimes equated with just an extra perceptory kind of awareness. But I really think it's more of a culmination of it's just about how actually subliminal or consciously, like where the Mason-Dixon line is of what you consciously perceive and are able to process in real time, because a lot of people, that sort of is the mark.
I know you're still talking.
The mark between, then I'll just continue talking. That's just the mark between someone who...
last I heard was Mason-Dixon.
I can't concentrate with...
oh, no. Nope, there you are.
With you randomly making comments, you throw me off track anyway. But...
could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you for some reason. It's the private hell that I live in where I can hear you and you can't hear me. I think that that's basically the divider between... it's how you get from movies like Contact or...
Glitter.
No Country for Old Men, maybe. Yeah. Movies with some subtlety, maybe more the more country for old men side. Because
I didn't know if you're talking bad or good. Okay, you were talking good, and I named really bad. That's fine.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, and then Madea, all those pretty much. Oh. Anything by Tyler Perry is on the other end of basically just not having any sense of like the subtlety that is completely bulldozed when you approach entertainment from that.
Yeah, it's almost like the humor is too easy. Like, yeah, okay, we get it.
They telegraph it almost. It's like an inexperienced boxer or something. They just telegraph all the jokes, and at the beginning, like the first split second, you get, okay, this is the joke, and then you've got to watch these dumbasses like play the whole joke out because it takes some people having things spelled out like that to get it. So it's like,
yeah, it's the computing time.
And this all correlates to, you know, I think people who laugh at, so like, there should just be like calibration movies where we make everybody watch these movies and then record where they laugh and where they react, and then based off of that,
put them in different theaters.
Based off of that, we give them, you know, rights to vote, rights to reproduce, you know, basic decision making rights. That's how you get your driver's license. There's no more vision tests or anything. It's just a competency test. You can be, there are blind people who have more sense than some of these people with driver's licenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put that in your tailpipe and smoke it.
Yeah, that guy can drive. Pass.
Yeah, it's like some people think that driving slow is driving safe. Driving slow is more unsafe than driving fast in many instances, because at least when you're going fast, mm-hmm. you get shit over with and we can get on with our damn lives. But you slow people, you just sit there and you just, oh, you're so slow. I hate driving.
You're like sloth.
I want to take up racing because I enjoy the physical challenge of navigating pathways at speed in a car, but I hate all the other people who are just terrible at that. Yeah, at all. And I can tell you, if we're driving in a car, I can tell you a lot about a person's, like, not the specifics, but in general, how successful their relationship with reality is based off of the way they drive.
How successful their relationship with reality.
Their endeavors
is so good.
In this realm that we call being, how they might interface with other faces.
Yeah, other faces.
On the roadways.
Yeah, like you said, it's a litmus test. How do you navigate a roundabout, a squiggle about?
Oh, jeez. And can I just say, I have no idea how to use two-lane roundabouts. I will tell you that, like,
it's pretty fun. Like, if you get confused, just go around again.
Like, I don't get it because it's almost like they're inviting you. It's like, oh, okay, are you going to be here for a while? Okay, then use the inside lane because you're going to, you know. But it's like, I am literally, if I take the first, second, third, or fourth exit, I will be in this roundabout for less than 10 seconds. Why am I choosing lanes? Why am I making decisions on the fly in a centrifugal fashion?
But circular,
concentric decisions. I'm confused.
It feels like a setup. It does.
Like, I just want to drive one lane. And then everybody who doesn't, like, if I don't know how to use that, then I doubt anybody else does, because just single lane.
You're like, I'm pretty much the standard.
I have plenty of people who will just sit there, like, in the roundabout. They will yield the right of way to the people entering the roundabout. That's how dumb they are. Now, if you throw an extra lane and a bunch of dotted lines in there, my God, I don't think anybody knows what to do with that. Maybe teenagers.
Yeah, well, some of us, like, I just go aggressively into it, people just kind of stay out of my way, so that's nice.
Yeah.
I just go in like I know what I'm doing, that's kind of how I operate in life, so it's fine.
Yeah, I maximize, you know, racing distances, so it's more like vertices or apexes. I hit the apexes no matter how unsafe it is. Like, even on winding double lane, two lane roads in the mountains, I'm a risk taker like that. I just like to
go fast.
And I like to live fast.
We know.
Yeah.
No brake, all gas.
Yep. Them's the brakes. No, them's not the brakes.
Them's not stem.
Them's aren't any brakes on them day.
You sound like a Rastafari.
Rastafari!
Amazing. How have you been? I think you've been kind of a busy kid. That's what I'm thinking.
A little bit busy.
A little bit extra busy.
Yep, building a busy beehive.
Hey!
With
your bays.
Trying to eat my audio cables. We just cleaned up. We buffed the floor.
What? That's a new step.
Yeah, last night, or we
Did you buff the floors in the buff?
No.
You shouldn't.
No, we didn't do that.
Okay. Together? Oh.
No, things can get tangled.
Obviously.
I don't know about other gentlemen, but I have a problem with that. I have to wear special hoists. Especially designed cod piece with extra room. So, you know, that's something that I can't... That's not something to joke about, okay?
No, it's okay. A curse.
And, yeah, we got the floors cleaned last night. We got lights showing up.
Wow.
Got some more...
So you picked out lights? You actually decided?
I hope so. I hope that's what I did.
That's exciting. Because decision-making sometimes for you... It's like, you know the lasting effects and that this decision has to make sense now. But you like to be on the forward edge of thinking as far as lighting. And I know that was really tough for you. And I'm excited that you made a decision.
It was a balancing act, but I think we got it figured out. We'll see as we install things. And I might have to order some extra parts. But yeah, we got a pretty sweet lighting rig going up pretty soon.
Really great. I'll be happy to see that this weekend.
It's a lot of light, but not a lot of weight on your wallet. Cha-ching.
That sounds like someone's line for a lighting store that they're going to open now. It's so smooth.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Just I'm going to
open a lighting store. That's going to be my...
It's as smooth as when I'm out riding the curl, when the waves are just perf, and I'm curling it up. Bro. What are you even saying to me right now? I'm taking my family out of your store. Okay. Mahalo. Okay. Chillax, brah.
See you on the waves.
I'll see you out there on the surf.
Okay.
That's just, you know, I'm sorry. I drop into that life so easily because it's so much
You really do. Yeah, it's seamless. Mm.
Other than lights, getting... Man, this cat is relentless. She just keeps on showing up on my desk.
Is she? Oh!
I'll put her right back down on the floor like I just did. So, yeah.
That's what Axel does.
Hopefully, we'll be open soon. I'm printing things non-friggin' stop. I've got so many cubes printed.
That's amazing.
Cubes. And then also, I have started from square one. On Mar blocks, kind of, more or less.
I get it. I get your joke.
Yeah. Okay. As far as like fittings, this is the new fitting. I think I've put fittings up to the microphone before, but this is the newest one, and it's much better. And
it sounds so like usable.
It sounds like the future, like just
it
like
does.
Progress. It sounds like
it does.
Like whatever's gonna replace Go-Gurt. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like that.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
I like what you did there. So when are you gonna open your business? Is there like a timeline?
No, there isn't.
Like, no.
Well, it's because there's so much to do. We'll have a better idea of when we can open soon. Ow, my God, get off! Ow, my scabs, my shin scabs. It hurts so bad.
Shin scabs.
Yeah, I have scabs on my shin. Don't worry about it.
That sounds so gross.
Yeah, my cat just clawed her way into them. That hurt. They have begun work on 62 West Jefferson Street out front there.
Oh, yeah. Worst.
Well, that's the big thing. That's more or less why I had to see when they're starting, what they're doing, what the situation is, and how it fits into what we're doing, because I there's just a lot of crap going on, and that's going to be happening for 4 damn months. So we're going to have to open during that sometime. Like, I'm not going to sit here shut down for 4 months.
Yeah,
so.
I think you're going to have to get some of those spotlights in your windows, draw some attention.
Yeah, I think, is the dark night dead? Can we get the bat signal for Chief right now? Is that thing just like...
Oh my gosh, you need to get the bat signal. You need to get a spotlight, but cut out 4D in it instead of the bat signal and shine that. And that's how you'll get attention.
Or get 40 bat signals.
40?
Yeah, 40 of them. And then I'll be like, you get it? Did you get it?
Hey, this is very, this is a huge expense.
Very costly.
I would appreciate it if you get it.
I have buried any profit for my business for the next 20 years in order to fund this endeavor.
And
I hope
night.
That you understand the sacrifices that I have made for what I consider to be my family. You people.
You people.
People. Soylent Green is people.
Oh my goodness.
You know that movie, that line gets a lot of credit, but it's one of those things. It's like, speaking of Batman, it's like the Joker in the newest Suicide Squad movie. It's a lot of hype, but then when you go and see the movie, it's like, oh, I didn't do that much. Like what's his nose wasn't in that new movie I heard very much. But then also, if you go and watch Soylent Green, it's like that line, Soylent Green is people. It's like the last thing they say in the whole movie. So if you're waiting for it, it's like the teaser waiting for the very end. It's like the very last line.
There is something satisfying, though, in the middle of a movie when they say, like, the movie title or, like, something that, like, that completely pulls it full circle. There is something very satisfying in you that makes you nod and kind of like,
Yeah.
It feels good. It feels like something's been completed within you that you don't know needed to be completed, but it did. And then when it happens, like a little tiny firework lets off in your head, like,
Yep.
At least for me, anyway.
Okay, well, at least you've got that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's free. That's something that you can have to cherish. That's all your own.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so look at it that way.
The other day.
As a positive. Yeah, speaking of things that happened the other day, Trump visiting 10 Mexicans, the last of the Mexicans.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, you know what? Here's the thing, Jason. He's a pretty busy guy. He didn't even get a chance to talk to the Mexican president about the, you know what? They brought it up.
See,
I don't think they brought it up, you know? Because he was like so busy.
Well,
yeah.
From what I heard, it came up, but then they both agreed. Wall. But no,
did. I know they brought it up. He's a freaking coward. It's hilarious.
Well, yes, that is exactly the point I wanted to make. That it's like all of his followers is like, so, like, it came up, but then they moved on, and it's like, and then directly after he was going on his campaign speech and whatever, he immediately after, he's like, yeah, we're gonna build the wall, and Mexico's gonna pay for it, and it's like, where were those bold words to the person's face? What? Like, how could you be more of, like you said, coward is the word for it, just totally talking smack behind the president's back right after you just, like, had a formal chat. Very low-key, basically, where it was low-key because you were afraid to say anything because you know you're
literally
a buffoon.
Anything.
It was just, it's only going to feed into, like, everyone's going to say, look how presidential he was. It's like, again, now, what the hell? What about the last year where we had to suffer through his childish antics? Like, how two-faced can you be and still have people rooting for you? And then this is all in the wake, once again, of 8 years of bashing Obama nonstop for being calling him exactly what Donald Trump actually is. Like, just a two-faced liar.
Good. Well, like, do I have to be like any more of what you actually... And that's the funny thing. It's like, actually, so physically seeing what you think you thought you saw, but now actually do.
Now here
somehow
it is.
We've recircled and now it doesn't exist. I don't understand.
Here is the supposed wolf, yet out of the wolf out of the sheep's clothing. It is there. It's confounding.
It's confounding.
It goes back to, you know, it more galvanizes the term forcefully ignorant, because that is literally what these people are like. They are forcing this narrative on themselves and the world around them, because there's no other way to believe this but to, like, consciously convince yourself of it. Mm-hmm. Like, in the interim, when your subconscious is not busy, you know, pipering you.
Guys, I'm a little busy.
Sorry, I'm kind of loaded down here, guys. I've got a lot of abilities to assemble and a lot of minds to influence. So, like, if you could just chillax a bit, like, take a pill and just, like, relax in the pool or something. I've got a lot of paperwork to do before I go ride the curl. I mean, it's not all just smooth wave action all the time.
Wonder how long it's gonna last.
I feel like now
sit here and check my calendar.
I think my ranting just overloads Skype now. The internet cannot have it.
Yeah,
the internet not gonna have it. We just got disconnected. Call dropped after a mere 24 minutes. Of billions.
Call.
Let's see. Oh jeez, I'm getting a call while I'm calling.
Hello?
Let's call the call.
No.
Call the call, bro.
Hello?
What I decided is that my brilliance has reached such a level of ascension that Skype cannot trans. If I, what I'll have to do is I'll have to start taking small breaks so that Skype can catch up. It can rebuffer.
That's so true. Catch up.
Yeah, I'll have to get some packets of ketchup, and then we'll send some buffered packets over the internet of ketchup. And for anybody who knows about internet technology, that'll be even funnier. Buffered ketchup packets. Those aren't children. They're packets of cream cheese. For anybody who knows about Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
All of the ghosts.
Just the ones in space. Spacically. Trump built a small is perhaps willing to build a small pedestrian bridge over his wall between America and Mexico.
He's like, okay.
Okay.
Fine. I'll be a little reasonable here. Yeah.
You know what I like that no one else noticed was that the wall became symbolic. Like, literally at a point, the wall was symbolic. Like, Trump himself said, like, it may not be a physical wall, but maybe a wall of pride. Or a wall
of
he literally conceded that, you know, maybe we can't actually build a wall, but it'll be like an imaginary wall that we all know is there in our hearts. And then now he's like meeting with the president of Mexico, and then afterward he's like, yeah, definitely, like the most good, awesome, best, superest wall ever. You're gonna be like, it's gonna be like sweet jumps, and I'm gonna like, I'm gonna like ramp over jumps, and we're gonna like, yeah, like a bunch of jump over alligators and like fire and like oops, and I'm gonna like score goals, and I'm gonna win it. Wall. I'm gonna make a wall. Like machine gun turrets. We're gonna shoot cars and shoot walls and shoot people. That's Trump.
Oh, Trump, you're so funny.
Yeah, thanks. I'm super cool. Everyone says that I'm like the coolest, and because I build walls and I build buildings and I put super hot ladies in them, and like, I totally like go in there. I'm like, yeah. It's my new Trump impression I'm working on.
Absolutely.
It's you know almost what? Like
that one really hits it on the head for me.
It's like Will Ferrell's. Really it's Will Ferrell's. What's her name? He did an impression of attorney Janet Reno. Attorney General Janet Reno did that impression where he said he didn't do an impression of how she sounds, he did an impression of how she looks. And so that's why she was just like when you listen to her, she's like, my name is Janet Reno, I'm a nice old lady. And that, but then Will Ferrell's impression was, what are you looking at? What
oh my god, that was so good. That was
she, like,
so good.
Looked like just like whatever, jockhead or whatever kind of voice, but then I'll do the Trump impression, which is just basically a man child on steroids with lots and lots of money and as much strangeness to his hair as he has money. And that's Trump. Josh! I'm like so super cool. I put my name on buildings and like I have like a wife that looks like my daughter because I don't secretly want to bang my daughter. I like super duper do because she's so hot. Oh, my daughter's like super hot. I totally do her. Grass wall, draw cars.
I like that part. That one's funny. The turrets are my favorite part.
Yeah, it's the guns. Check out these guns.
So we're going to be in town this weekend just for a quick little stop in. I can't wait to see what you're up to, by the way.
Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff. I heard about that. Those are the only 2 days I'm working, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, no, we'll be there Sunday, too.
Oh, shit. Wait, I think I work Saturday
working Sunday
and Sunday.
All of a sudden, too.
No, I actually do work Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, my.
Are you going to be here Friday?
We'll probably leave mid-morning Monday because the kids have to be to school.
Or are you going
to
be here Friday?
No.
Well, then, yep, I got it covered. Good. That worked out well.
Are you working only in the evening or like...
Yeah, only in the evening. I'll call in, though, and see if I can get some day shift action, too, just so I'm super unavailable.
Okay, yeah. I look into it. Yeah,
look, I'm sure. I'm sure I can swap shifts with someone.
Don't worry.
I'll take two OCs Saturday, Sunday. Thanks.
Thanks. Even if you don't want me, I'm going in.
No, I'll just be there. Let's be there like
like I just don't want to be available.
Shifting
to
my weight nervously from one foot to the other with my hands behind my back, just like way too eager to do something, but still doing nothing.
You mean most of people sometimes at work? Okay, two things. One, I want to talk. I want to get your opinion on the Colin Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem. And two, I want to know what you think about the lady, that female blonde lady on, who like goes on rants and stuff.
Okay, well, I don't know about the second one, but Colin Kaepernipples.
Colin Nipples.
Colin Kaepernese.
Kaepernese.
Colin Kaepernate. Colin Kaeper Necro.
Colin Kaeperneedle.
Yeah, Colin Kaeperneedle. Colin Kaeper Nether Region. Never, Colin Kaepernick never land.
Never land.
I think that it's a nice. Speaking of nice litmus test. Litmus test. This should be one of the tests. This would be one of the tests on like. This would be a totally like punked. Got ya. This was a, this was just like he failed. Which is okay. Someone a prominent sports figure refuses to stand for the national anthem as an exercise of what that national anthem ironically stands for.
So you actually have to stand for something.
In order to express his his feelings toward recent going, and I think it's fair. I'm not one to be, but I think that's a nice, quiet, polite way to exercise, like a very poignant way to send a message, and I think that's fine. But I think the litmus test part comes in when you really see, you see the people who react very hyperbolically and very black and white. It's like the same people who say free speech, but not if it's against America. When an American celebrity went over and said some things in Britain a while back. I'm sure it's happened plenty of times since, and there were plenty of people free speech, but not when you're in some other country talking about America. It's like, well, wait a second. Like, what are these borders and what are these concepts you're putting around and these weird restrictions? It's the same thing. It's like Colin Kaepernick. Like, it reminds me of also the response a lot of right wingers and people had to the Louisiana thing and things where they tried to make it partisan. They're like, oh, so no big deal when it's a Democrat in office. You're not going to make a stink about it. It's like, yeah, because we handled it fine. And Obama shouldn't go visit it right after because they agreed he should wait. And it's not prudent to go visit a disaster area at that time with such an entourage that the president entails. So these are all the proper responses as opposed to what Trump and Pence did, which they ran down there for a photo op and all their supporters right until they're like, where's Obama? Why ain't he down there? Oh, look, at least Trump and Pence give a crap. And they just handed out a bunch of Play-Doh and they brought more photographers than help and all that stuff. And it's like, that's the same thing that's happening with Kaepernick. You see all the reactionary people saying, hey, why aren't you doing this thing that's super patriotic? Because you're a fag. And it's like, wow. So this, like, that is reaction. It's all the same group. The same people who support Trump are against Kaepernick. Ironically, because he's doing the right thing. He's exercised, like, I guarantee you there are some ignorant vets and troops, but I would guarantee you that 80 to 90% of all our veterans and all our active military people would agree with Kaepernick. They're like, yes, the actions he has shown are exactly why we're fighting, is to show measured civil disobedience, to use the flag as the symbol of itself, to sometimes shine a light on itself. It's a beautiful symbol because it's transparent. It's supposed to be transparent and reflective and meaningful. It's supposed to be thought provoking, but these people are abusing these notions of patriotism and loyalty through their reactionary. So I just think, again, these people shouldn't be, the people who say Kaepernick is a devil and everything, you don't get to vote now because you don't understand what America is about. You just don't get it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That part I totally get. I do think, though, I think there is, if you don't count, like, these generations that use social media, if you count, like, the old people, like the super old veterans and stuff, I think it is upsetting because it's like, you know, kind of like, don't use it for that. Again, I totally get what you're saying. I'm literally playing devil's advocate in the middle here.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say that that's their problem. Like, they are the devil in that scenario because if that's their thinking, then they did it for the wrong reasons. Like,
no, not doing it for the wrong reasons. Just saying, like standing up for. Well, again, this is not my opinion. I'm trying to pass a message from people that I asked actual 9-year-old veteran this morning what he thinks, and he thinks that he was upset by the actions because not because of what the flag does or doesn't stand for, just because the respect of the country.
Well, no, but you that's the mean? Problem.
Like,
is that,
find another way.
But that's the problem. Is this absolutism that leads, like, the nationalism that they seek? Ironically, is that of North Korea, where you must stand, you must respect the flag at all times for all reasons. That is an absolute attitude, which is more in line with totalitarianism. That's not a free market thinking. That's forcing people to act a certain way all the time, and that's not acceptable. The only absolute is not absolute.
But don't you think that the flag and the respect of it does unite people?
Has to genuinely, in the same way that the Crusades did not genuinely convert people. It converted people through violence and threat of death. Like, people must respect the flag on reality's terms. You don't respect the flag just because. And this goes back to my comment on Twitter, which very much reflects a sentiment. Citizens aren't great because of their country. A country is great because of its citizens. And if all the citizens aren't being treated with due respect, I mean, that's the way Colin Kaepernick feels.
Yeah, absolutely.
He feels, and I think rightfully so, because I don't agree with all the reactionary I think he has – that's what I take kind of exception to, people being offended by it, because that – he has a platform, and that is a very poignant – and I think he really thought that through. I don't think it was a flippant just fuck you. I think he is using the flag to defend itself in this way. He's showing that I he's an American. He's involved in the cap. Like, look at his actions. He's a capitalist. He makes money. He probably helps young children when he's not busy, you know, being controversial. But in this moment, he's decided it's worth risking his reputation to make a statement. That I think that's where you make the statement, because I do think for all the missteps in the Black Lives Matter and all the different anecdotal kind of perspectives, I think there, we do honestly need to look at not institutionalized racism, but vestigial racism. Racism that can only exist and has to exist because of the integration of black culture in our society. Like, it was all white people, and then we brought black people over, slaves. Like, there were not nearly as many of them, and they weren't given the due respect from the outset, and we are still working on undoing the pathways of disrespect in our history.
Exactly.
And I think to call it institutionalized is unfair, but to say that racism isn't still built into many of the old functions, which, look, like, captains of industry are fighting tooth and nail to keep things the way they were. You don't think racism is a big piece of that puzzle for some people? Like, I think that there are oppressors of black people who profit from it. And I think a lot of the conversations about Black Lives Matter distract from meaningful dialogues, but Kaepernick has found a way. Unfortunately, I don't think it's being received well, but I think that's a really good way for someone who obviously has a work ethic, obviously has a respect for some sort of reality, because you don't get to that level without working your ass off and knowing the value of effort over and over again. So I think people lose sight of where he is and who he is and what it's taken to get there. And I take that gesture very meaningfully and not lightly. It makes me reflect very much on why someone would do that and not just say, you just respect the flag just because. If the flag isn't respecting you, then you should, you know, let the flag know. And that's how you do it. I don't know what better way of communicating. We got disconnected here. Oh, hello again.
I didn't say anything because you were on a really good roll.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that one. And I think I just finished it. I think I've reiterated or gone over all the nooks and crannies. But, I mean, thanks for bringing that up, because that allowed me to somewhat articulate some of what I was subconsciously feeling about that, because I see where older generations are coming from, but to be quite honest, those generations lived by and large in eras of ignorance, and their
points of view, I think, what they were fighting for was different then. You know what I mean? Like, we're fighting for something different.
It was, and not that, you know, I it's one of those things, like, it's one of those set in their ways things, not to, like, condescend too much to them, but I don't blame an older person for having that attitude, because, like, I guess the way you're saying that it was, we were all galvanized back then, and we lived very much in an era of, like, that's the way those people were formed as clay. They were
made into the shape and of older, yeah,
security
like
and patriotism. Yeah. So there really is a rift between.
It's an unspoken set of rules and respect for the country and the flag. Not saying, like you said, like they don't, like, now, yes, now we know more, we are educated, we can further, you know, our understanding of what it is that we're dealing with. But I think in those generations, it was more about you did what was right, and it just isn't right. Do you know what I mean? They're not doing it because out of ignorance, they're just doing it out of, like, personal sacrifice and dignity for what they fought for, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, yeah. And we very much have to look at, like, I mean, not necessarily that, you know, the era we're heading into is better either, because in many ways I think arranged marriages are probably better for most people. I think the idea that you cast a bunch of teenagers out into the world, especially with the pseudo-education we're getting right now, I think that letting them decide who gets tied to whom forever is insane. And arranged marriages would be a much better option for most people in that case. So, and to that end, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, I think it was recently, and a guest on there had said that if you really want to talk, I think it was Josh Gad maybe, or maybe not, I listened to a bunch, but someone had said that that if you want to talk freedom, really look into what freedom means in certain, like, ways that you look at it, because North Koreans are probably one of the, or in a government like that, they might be considered the most free, because their government is taken care of for them. They don't have to argue politics. They don't worry about anything. Now, there are certain freedoms they sacrifice, but they don't have to worry about the economy or voting or political issues. They just focus on their jobs, and that frees them up in a way. I mean, in the same way that corporations' money is free
speech.
It's
what direction are you looking at it? Like the meme I saw the other day, one guy standing on the side of a six and is like, it's a six. And the other guy's on the other side going, it's a nine. And it's all about perspective. It's from where you're standing, what it looks like.
I like the one that's a cylinder and then it's got two lights shining on it. And from one angle, it's a circle, and the other angle, it's a rectangle. Mm-hmm. And that's nice too. I mean, the thing that I would like to get to, and I think the thing that we're on the cusp of, is a non-biased, impartial judge in the form of, you know, an artificial or non-biological consciousness that would be able to assimilate. So I think the issue is, like, no matter how smart any human being ever is, like, a lot of
they're coming in with bias.
Well, a lot of time you're going to be wrong, because it's necessary. The way we've developed, it's necessary for us to develop a pronounced ego. Because that is what drives innovation forward.
You
have to believe in yourself despite all the odds. And in having that function, like, you just get a pig-headed or rather bull-headed thinking, where it's just you have to have an unwavering confidence in yourself at certain junctures. And just by the nature of human consciousness, like, if reality is 100% of everything, then humans, we probably, the smartest guy might see 5% of what's going on, if that, like, and most people see less than 1%. So there's no way that you're going to be right all the time. In fact, you're wrong most of
the time.
Yeah,
but that's what people freak out about and get silly arguments online. It's like, oh, God, that's just the thing, the disaster.
There's no way for humans to ever strike a balance where we're all just happy and agreeing because we're all going to always be fighting back and forth until maybe we find an arbiter who's, you know, not impartial, like I said, and able to...
Like squirrels. We're going to be like, hey, squirrel, what do you think?
Oh,
and then they
great.
Just decide.
Like the squirrel's like some kind of Spider-Man accident, but it's like spider squirrel, but it's like techno spider squirrel, where like a squirrel is mistakenly chewing on a microchip when a bat of ooze falls on him, and then he just turns into like a robotic... swirl with multiple limbs, and like it's like, oh Lord Master, we bow before you and we wait for your countenance. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a future that's brighter than the one we're looking at otherwise.
Exactly. Okay. Well, here's the funny part that I wanted to drop on you about the whole Kaepernick thing. Okay, so he says that, again, this is just for your thoughts.
Can I just say before, his facial hair should be what most, like, I would assume that most white Republicans would be like, he looks like a terrorist when he grows his hair out. Because he does. Sorry, go ahead. He really looks like Osama bin Laden when he grows his hair.
Is nobody saying anything? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the only one talking.
I know, the rumors are swirling that he's converted to Muslim and that he's married a Muslim person.
Well, if they believe that he's Muslim, then he is. Like, that's all they have. They just have to believe beliefs. And
you just have to believe that Trump's going to build a wall. Well, as Kaepernick stated, he said, I'll stand again when I see or feel or whatever it is that he said, whatever emotion or, you know, verb, I don't know.
When I squeal.
That he's, yeah, whatever.
It's a combination of see, feel, and quails.
Got it. Well, when he says, I'll stand again when I feel like it's better. And it's like, well, hold on. That part does bother me.
When Donald Trump sorts it all out, when he figures all the Muslims out, then I'll stand.
Because, you know, the moment he decides to stand again, people will be like, well, it's the work isn't done. Well, then if he decides not to stand, it's like, are we just waiting for, like, when did Colin Kaepernick become, like, the guy? Like, you're not all-knowing. You don't get to be like, okay, I think we're done here. You know?
Well, I don't know. Let's say he has as much power as you give him, like Jesse Jackson. Well, I don't get it. Aren't these Republicans who are decrying Colin Kaepernick the ones who have been shitting on America for the last election cycle?
Just been like, quit shitting on us.
All this make America great again thing. It's like, okay, so the implication is that America needs to become great again as it is not currently. So,
that's so rude. I don't think we need to clean up this place. I think you need to clean up your attitude.
Yeah, your attitude is what's stupid.
Dirty.
Yeah, that.
You got a dirty attitude.
Well, I would say that just don't, like, again, if you don't give a shit, like, I don't give a shit really what Kanye West thinks.
Don't have anything else to say, so they do give a shit, and that's a problem. Well, why do you care?
Okay, here's our
so much.
Okay, this is all part of our lab. We're just gonna use Colin Kaepernick as our whole litmus test. He's just gonna be everything. Like, we'll slowly just sieve out all of the people at various different densities and granularities.
Gold nuggets, dirt. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a gold at the top. We'll have just the silt at the bottom, just like the fine mist of retardation.
Oh.
I guess. I don't know if that's the good stuff or the bad stuff. The gold, if it's at the top, it's the good, then the gold, then that's, at the, unless it's fool's gold.
Oh, no.
Is the river half full?
We can't even get right in our own analogy.
The oceans are half empty, and soon they'll be all empty. Wait, no, they'll be full, actually. The oceans are filling up. Good thing for, we'll say ocean life. I heard that coral reefs are experiencing coral bleaching and are dying thanks to rising ocean temperatures.
I know. And it looks like Florida is going to disappear.
Well, good. We'll have...
Oh!
That'll be fewer... can I just say, a good riddance to the South goes underwater?
Will.
That's most of the people who are voting on going underwater. It's like just voting on your own demise. I mean, it's kind of poetic in that way. At least then the North, where all the non-dumbasses by and large are, will
my goodness.
It'll be a little bit warmer.
You're not alienating any demographic here.
No one that already hasn't been alienated by illegal alienations.
Oh my gosh. That's okay.
Once the South is underwater and then the North becomes the South, then the new South will become hot again, and then eventually it'll just be like a bunch of people just huddled, like it'll be 15 billion people huddled around a couple poles and Santa Claus with 40 bat signals just like, what's going on here?
Totally off subject, but kind of just on subject.
Well, I don't know what subject we're talking about anymore.
Exactly.
So
when you said, but by all means,
by any means necessary, help out of the subject area.
When you say alienated, it sounds like you're getting nailed by an alien. I just get alienated.
I guess that could be like a porno somewhere, probably.
Yeah, it will be now. Great, great. Oh, yeah. We just have the best and the worst ideas here.
Yep, we'll let you decide which is which.
We go from infinity all the way down to being alienated.
Yeah, infinite scarves. Like, yeah, you have a Mobius infinited. Scarf. An infinite Mobius scarf. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. Is that a good idea or a bad one? I don't know.
You decide.
You try putting that thing on, and it's like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to make my way to your Halloween party. I can't get out of my scarf. I started to put on my scarf, and then it's endless. I don't know how to stop or start putting it on anymore.
I thought it would be a nice addition to my outfit, and I'm lost.
Yeah, I'm at wardrobe with the scarf.
Oh!
Ah!
Oh!
I don't knit this crap.
I don't knit this crap up.
Yeah. Crap. You're gonna sweater bomb the Middle East.
We could, and then everyone would be warm. Too warm.
We could infinitely sweater bomb the Middle East.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, wow.
We're the punniest people we know.
Who knew?
Ew. All right, you ready to be done? I'm done.
Okay,
I'm done. You know what? I can't even.
Beyond ready. I'm just waiting for Skype to cut out again and just.
I know, and then be like, fine. Just walk away. Just take the headphones off.
Just walk away.
Don't even stay.
Walk away.
You don't need this. Count us back.
It is not worth it.
Isn't it?
San Adi Aichi.
Was that one?
Yes.